And I hope that you just don't wait to come to church on Wednesday night to read this. I want you to be reading and studying for yourself. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, unto Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, I said this before, but I want you to notice, this is the key verse to the whole book of Revelation right here. Verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That is the key verse to Revelation. If you don't get that, you can get everything all jumbled up. That's the key verse of Revelation. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. I thank you, God, for we can already feel your presence, Lord. Thank you, God, for each one that's come this way tonight, God. Lord, and have your hand on us, God. I pray, God, you'd help us as we study Revelation. Lord, we know we're going to be blessed just by reading it, God. That's what your word says, God. Lord, we're going to be blessed just by hearing it, God. That's what your word says, God. Lord, we'll be blessed by putting it into action. God, have your hand on us right now, God. Lead us and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to say this as I was studying this today and thinking about this. Some of this stuff I'm going to reiterate because I've already said it a couple of times, but I'm going to reiterate it because John reiterated it. Okay? Now, let's look at the placement of the book. Who wrote the book? John is writing the book. John, like I said last week, John is the penman. And I don't even remember the word I used last week. Amen. But John was basically like somebody just taking a dictation, writing it down as Jesus gives it to him. John, at this time, John is around 90 to 100 years old. Did y'all hear what I said? At this time, John is around 90 to 100 years old. Older folks have a place in church, amen? Older folks have a place in ministry. Older folks, if we're not careful, we get a little age on us and we think, well, it's time for me to stop. I don't see nowhere in the Bible where John backed up. John, he is almost 100 years old, writing down, taking dictation from God, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but notice what John says. Now, John, this is the last. Mike, this is the last living apostle. This is the last living person this is the last living person, period. Paul had already been put to death. John is alive, and John is the last living person to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. Amen. Now, you know when John walked down the street, well, it's good to see you, John. Don't you know people just love John? They just patted John on the back. I mean, John was the man. If anybody ever had the right to have a big head, John had the right to have a big head. I mean, John could have wrote this thing out and said, listen, I'm the last living person to see Jesus Christ alive. Shut up and listen to what I got to say. Notice what he said. I, John, who also am your brother. Do you get that? John, he's writing this, and he said, let's don't make no any kind of distinction between me and you. We're the same. And understand that as we get into this book, we're going to find that John is in awe of what he is seeing. John is seeing, Tony, John's seeing things he ain't never seen before. And John realizes, I am in the presence of a holy God. And understand something, I don't care if you're the preacher, I don't care if you're the song leader, I don't care if you're a deacon. When you get into the presence of a holy God, it's all level at his feet, amen. There ain't no big I's and little U's. John goes on to say, I am a companion in persecution. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice where John is at. He said, I, John, am on the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos was an island about 10 miles long, about 6 miles wide, of nothing but rock. This was an island where they sent the worst of the worst of the prisoners, and this was a hard labor island that Roman people were sent. Now, understand something. The leader of the Roman people had already tried to kill John, but when he couldn't do that, he banished him to the Isle of Patmos. And if we're not careful, when we go through hard times, and John, can you imagine on the outside looking in, and everybody's looking and says, well, John's on the Isle of Patmos. Oh, poor John. Poor John. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, I just can't believe what David's going through. Oh, my Lord, I just can't believe what Dallas is having the trouble to go through right now. But on the Isle of Patmos, God did something with John that God already had planned out. He had to get John by himself. He had to get John in a place where all the distractions, Matt, was gone. He had to get John in a place that I can speak to you. I got something I want to tell you, John. I need you to write down something because it's going to bless people from here on out. And understand what you're going through right now, your dry spell right now, God might be doing something through you. God might be trying to get you in a place that he can talk to you. John is on the Isle of Patmos. Now I want you to think about this. He's there physically, but he says this, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. All of us, all believers have two locations. We got our Patmos on one side, spiritually, but spiritually we got our Patmos on the other side. John said, I'm in a dry spot. I'm in a bad location, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm just going, I've thought about that over the years. I have thought about that, and I taught Revelation in Sunday school probably 40 years ago. But I've thought about this, and as I was dwelling on this, the Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him's got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now listen, we can come in on the Isle of Patmos. We can get out of our car out there and our lip dragging the ground. But I'm telling you right now, between that car and that door right there or that door right there, you can get spiritually on the Isle of Patmos just like John was. Hey, let me tell you something. The service is what you put in. I've heard David said. I've heard Tony said. The service is what you put into it. John's right there, right by himself, getting ready to have church. Any of y'all ever been there? I mean, right by yourself. I know David, I've heard David talking about going down the highway. I'll never forget Preacher Jack Lasseter said, some of these people you don't need to listen to going down the highway. They'll make you hear strange noises and see blue lights. Amen. Tell you something, folks. Church is where you want to have it. I love coming together. I love coming together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and being with God's children. I love fellowship. I love the man cave. I love our Sunday school class. We come in and we fellowship and we get around the Word of God. I love that and understand it, but I can have that at my house. Amen. I can have that in my car. I can have that in the church parking lot. Me and Dallas has it in the church parking lot a right good bit. Service is what you make it. John's on the Isle of Patmos, and he's there for his preaching and for his testimony. At this time, it was against the law to be a Christian. Yeah. At this time, understand, at this time, the rulers of Rome were taking Christians and putting them in cages and setting them on fire to have nightlights in the city. And John is standing up telling everybody, my God, have mercy. They tried to boil him in a vat of water and oil, and it didn't work. You can't kill the man of God. When God's got his hand, understand something, when God's got his hand on you, you can't stop it. He's on the Isle of Patmos for his testimony. Now let's look at the rest of the book. Verse 11 through about verse 19, the partitions of the book, the command that John receives. He said, write and send it to the seven churches. Now, I was thinking about this, and I don't know everything about Revelation, but I don't know everything about the Bible. And I was wondering, David, and I was wondering, did John send a letter to each church, or did he write one letter and send one letter to all the churches? We don't know. We don't know, but we know that he writes to the seven. And now this could have four meanings right here when it's talking about the seven churches. It is written to the seven churches of John's day. Also, it could mean that it is written in seven basic divisions of church history. Some scholars believe, and I believe you can apply every one of these to every one of these situations. It was written to the seven types of churches that we have today. And it was written to the seven, it was written for the seven characteristics of every church and of every Christian. Now, I don't have time. I'm going to break these down a little bit more on further. But it was written to the church of Ephesus. This was an apostolic church. It was written to the church of Smyrna. This was the persecuted church. It was written to the church of Pergamos. This was a state church. And it was written to Thyatira, or this was a Catholic or a Pope-type run church. It was written to the church at Sardis. That was the Reformed church. It was written to the church of Philadelphia. That was a missionary-type church. And it was written to the church sins. That was a lukewarm church. And all these that we've seen, all these things can apply to our lives. All these can apply to the seven church ages down through history. And I believe with all my heart, let me just throw this out there, we are living in the lukewarm stage of the church. Amen. Do y'all realize that most people in America could not even be members of the church in India? Because we're too slack and too worldly. Most people in America cannot be members of the church in China. Oh, yeah, there's a church in China. There's millions of people in China worshiping Jesus, but they're doing it underground because it's illegal. And we gripe and complain when the car don't start. Folks, I believe we're living in the Laodicean church age. Now, like I said, verse 19 is the key verse. He tells John to write about the past. That's chapter 1. He tells John to write about the present. That's chapter 2 and chapter 3. And he tells John to write about the future. That is chapter 4 through chapter 22. The key verse is 19, past, present, future things that John is going to see. Now, verse 10, 11, and 12 through 20, the preoccupation of the book. Jesus is the centerpiece of the book. We know that. We've already studied that. Verse 12 talks about the candlesticks. This is the lampstand. This is a picture of the church. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus is the lampstand. Hey, understand something. I can lift up David all I want to, and ain't nobody going to see no light. I can lift up Donald Boone all I want to, and ain't nobody going to see no light. But if I lift up Jesus, he'll shine bright, glory to God. He will shine bright. That's all you need to know. He's the centerpiece of the whole book, but he's definitely the centerpiece of the book of Revelation. Jesus is in the midst of the church. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What's he doing in the midst of them? What does Jesus do when he comes to church? Have you ever thought about that? We live in a spiritual world. We cannot see everything that's going on. And I've said this before. As we live in a spiritual world, we understand that things are spiritual. We understand. We the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But the Bible also said that we have angels watching over us. Angels, that's plural, amen. That means I got at least two. I know there's at least two angels with me at all times, glory to God. And what are they doing when I'm sitting on the seat like a bump on a pickle and my angels are standing up, Tony, worshiping God. David is teaching Sunday school, talking about Jesus, and there's angels jumping up all in that room up there in the man cave, and us sitting there with our lips drawn out. So what does Jesus do when he comes to church? He knows all, and he sees all. And he's watching you. Because you got, what did he say? Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Y'all do realize he's here. I don't know about y'all, but I come in his name. I don't know about y'all. I believe Tony come in his name. I don't know about, I believe David come in his name. We got it covered right there. The rest of y'all might well just join on in. So he's here watching you. Like I said, he already knows how you're going to worship. He already knows how you're going to act in church. He already knows. He knew before you got here. Some of y'all ought to realize that. Say, I'm going to change. I'm going to do things a little bit different when I get to church. Hey, thank God. I love it when I look over and see Brother Jerry with his hands up in there standing up. I mean, he's in more pain than you and I can even think of, and he's still standing up and worshiping God. He's in the midst of the church. Verse 14 through verse 18, Jesus is displayed. When John turned around, what did he saw? Understand something. John is looking at the one that he walked with, talked with, ate with. John is looking at the one that, as he sat at the table, he leaned his head over on his bosom. And like one preacher said, he could feel Jesus' breath on the back of his neck, glory to God. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, John knew who he was talking to. But he looks at his personality. He's the author and the finisher of the faith. He looked at his position. He is the Son of Man. John knew him well, amen. And understands that he's signified by his clothes. We've all heard the old saying that clothes make the man. No, it don't. Clothes mark the man. It marked Jesus. It marked him as a priest. It marked him as a king. It marked him as a judge. John sees his position. John, in verse 14 through verse 16, John sees his person. In verse 14, John sees his hair, the purity, the age, the purity. In verse 14, John sees his eyes. That's the perception. He sees everything. In verse 15, John sees his feet. That's the persistence. In other words, he'll never quit. He's always walking. He's always doing. He didn't quit when he carried that cross. He ain't going to quit when he's carrying your burdens. He ain't going to quit when he's carrying the church. He ain't going to quit. I'm telling you right now, he's coming back, glory to God. He's going to win. He is going to be victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and Satan. Amen. He's going to stomp out Satan. Hebrews chapter 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I'm telling you, Satan is already defeated, and Jesus will not stop till he comes and gets the church and he takes us out of here and we set up and reign victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Now listen, I'm going to say something. I had a phone call today. Somebody was asking me about this. And they was talking about how that when John, all this that John saw, they said, that kind of scares me. I said, what you got to understand is this. John is just testifying of a representation of Jesus. In other words, I believe when John sees Jesus, he sees Jesus as you and I will see Jesus one day. But understand something. In this vision, John is in the Spirit, and John is writing this down. Amen. Jesus is in his glorified body, and John's seeing supernatural things. But when you and I get to Jesus, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, when you and I get to Jesus, we're going to see him as a lamb that had been slain. I believe we'll see every scar. I believe that. We'll see every heartache. The Bible goes on in verse 15, talks about John hears the voice. It's a voice of authority. It can't be argued with. It's going to have the final say. In verse 16, John sees the stars in his hand. That is protection. Understand something. We are safe in the hands of Jesus. I won't never forget. I saw him just yesterday. I was talking to preacher Jacob Berry yesterday, and I won't never forget, Brother David, you might remember, he preached a message in this church, living on the fingertips of God. How many of y'all remember that? And he taught, and he had that coin, and he placed that coin out on his finger. And he said, this is where most Christians want to live. They want to live in the fingertips of God. And there's a balancing act. And understand, I know God can watch over. But I'm telling you right now, if you get into the palm and they close that hand, you'll never fall out. You'll never have to worry about it. Hey, the world can shake. But I'm telling you right now, I'm in the protected hand of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He is holding me. He talks about the stars in his hand. Verse 16 talks about his mouth, a profession. Jesus always spoke the perfect word. In verse 16, it talks about his countenance. It's pure, holy. There is no equal. He outshines the sun. Glory to God. In verse 17, it talks about his peace. John's reacting to Jesus' touch. Notice what it said. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. For I'm the first and the last. Everybody that's ever been saved has been in them times when you're down on your knees and you're troubled and you're crying and you maybe it's on an altar or beside your bedside or wherever and you're just troubled and you're crying and then all of a sudden you feel a peace. And it's like when Jesus just comes up and puts, fear not. I got this. I got this. Verse 18, he talks about his power. Let me understand something. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus said, all power is given to me under heaven and on the earth. He's got it. I'm telling you right now, it might look like the devil's raging. It might look like the devil's winning. But all this is in God's plan. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, folks. Somebody made mention of this, and every once in a while somebody will say something that'll get me thinking about it. You know, when I look back on my life, and I see when the night I got shot, Brother Jackie, and I see if I'd have knew that was going to happen, I'd have never left the house. But God had a plan. God had a plan. God's got a plan for your life. All that you're going through right now, God's working something out. God is doing something that no, you might not can see on the outside. At this point in the book of Revelation, at this point, John on the Isle of Patmos, I believe John's having himself a time. He's seeing Jesus. John ain't got no idea what's coming. You don't have no idea what's coming. God's doing something. Amen? In your life. And in my life, his power, his resurrection, his right. He said, I got the keys to death and hell. Understand something. I said this a couple years ago. I'll never forget it. We were going through the play, and this thing, and I read the description. It came to my mind. You know, we always see, and I like the play. Now, don't y'all call David. David, you need to change the play. The preacher don't like it. Don't y'all do that. I like the way we do the play. I like it with Satan walking around with the keys. But in reality, he ain't never had the keys. It ain't his house. God's in control of all things. You understand? That ought to be a blessing to you tonight. To realize even though Satan might be raging, He's on a leash. And he can't go but so far. Amen. Thank God. Thank God.